Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our summer series looking at the one another's, and I am looking forward to the conversation today. We're joined by the doctor, Dr. Carl Follingstad. Carl, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks. Always glad to be here.
Always good to have you. And we're joined by kids pastor, Scarlett Kiyoski. Scarlett, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Carl, I would love to start with you. One of my favorite things about the series we've been in is that each of the speakers, Jose had planned this before he left for his sabbatical, but each of the speakers gets to pick kind of their topic of the one another's. And so I just always love opening up by asking, why did you pick accepting one another? Because there's a lot of different ones out there. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, interesting question. So first of all, Jose kind of hinted that that'd be a good one to do. And I always take this very seriously. Full disclosure, we're very transparent and authentic here in the broadcast.
Hint, wink, wink. Whatever you want, Carl.
But it is an important topic. And just, you know, the whole idea of acceptance, both the super important parts of it and the vital parts of it, also then just fleshing out what acceptance really means in every respect. Yeah. So it kind of intrigued me to get into acceptance.
Yeah, there were a lot of like takeaways I thought of, just even just how focusing on keeping the main thing, and not getting caught up in all the little disagreements. I thought you did a great job explaining that. And also how you can be so right and yet wrong in your approach to a lot of this. So that was all helpful. Scarlett, would love to hear your first thoughts as you heard the message on Sunday.
Yeah, I definitely think this is something God has had to work out within me over time. I've learned that, you know, when I was young, I would take a disagreement and part ways, you know, and I've learned that we can disagree, but also love each other well. And so yesterday was a really good reminder of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, I was thinking before the podcast, okay, where do we want to go with this? There's so much we could unpack and kind of extract here. I would love to kind of talk about kind of the points you had towards the end about, or really kind of in the middle of the passage, about remembering kind of, there's different things you want us to remember when we come to approaching either disagreements or conflict. And so Scarlett, I just can't wait to hear kind of your thoughts on all of this too. But the first one out of Romans 14, kind of 1-5, was remember the reason for the belief. And just starting there when it comes to any sort of maybe opinions, conversations. I mean, I think we can all think back to either conversations with family or friends or even just people in our community group where you can quickly start to realize, oh, I don't know if we're on the same page here. And so as you start, you know, hashing things out, why is it so important, Carl, to start with remembering the reason for the belief to begin with?
Yeah, a good question. So Paul talks about, you know, when you don't really believe in something and you're doing it anyway, kind of like in a doubtful way, and it's like haphazard way, it's kind of, he says that's almost, well, he does say that's sin. If you don't do it out of faith, then it's sin. And faith meaning you know why you believe what you believe about that issue. So he was saying with the Jews and the Gentiles there that they needed to be convinced in their own mind. And if they weren't convinced in their own mind, they shouldn't do it because it goes against their conscience. And what's not of faith breaks the conscience. And that is not good for their spiritual walk.
Yeah. Scarlett, why? I think you do such a good job of keeping the main thing the main thing and little things the little thing. And so even just starting with this idea of remembering why we're even having these conversations, why we're doing what we're doing, how do you kind of remind yourself of that or just kind of center yourself on that instead of getting distracted by all that the world throws your way?
Yeah, on a personal level, I think just life experiences that we've been through brings me back to a point of focusing on what matters. And also I found in my personal life when I'm wrestling with discontentment or struggling, it's because I've lost my eternal focus. I've lost the what matters most, right? And so God just reminds me about those two things, to focus on Him, and life is short. We got to make it count. It matters. So
that's so good.
I did want to say that, you know, what Scarlett does in the children's ministry with the big idea and then applying something, that's the beginning of that, you know, find out the reason for what you believe. Because when you get grounded in the basics, then you can kind of see the non-debatable, the debatables are more clear when you know the basics. And so children's education is like the foundation for knowing why you believe what you believe. So just get that out there.
That's awesome. Carl, I love that you're throwing that in there just because you're on the kids' team and able to know that. But Scarlett, just so for those listening that don't know what the big idea is, would you want to explain it real quick?
Sure. So every Sunday we have a Bible story that we talk about and we pull out the main point of the story, and that's That's what we call our big idea. And so that's what we focus around all morning, really. All of our activities, our prayer time, our teaching time is focused on that. And it's always so rich to just teach a simple point and pull a simple point out of that message.
Y'all, that is so good. Not just for the kids, but even for the adults to hear.
Oh, Carl, yeah.
They're teaching exegesis, actually, right? You know, exegesis is reading out of the passage, not putting your own ideas in, but pulling it out. And so, yeah, the scripture works at all different age levels, obviously. Right?
Well, something you just said that I don't want to just gloss over, you were saying that in order to understand what are more of the open hand issues, it's easier to know those when you know what are the real truths and the cores of our faith.
Right.
As someone listening that maybe is like a newer believer, where would they go to kind of get those core beliefs? I feel like some people it's like, well, how do I know what's like a really important and then which one's not? Kind of how have y'all just personally done that or maybe even just coached people that are in that season?
Wow, that is a really, really good question in terms of where do you get your core. I think partly it's through the basics of Christian education, as we've been talking about, is you're building up your basic facts of the faith. You know, Jesus' story, you get into some of the bigger doctrines like we can trust God's word because it's authoritative. That's a non-negotiable. And so you can... some of the things like the creeds and things like that, like the Westminster's Catechism, Luther's Catechism, the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, those are like executive summaries of what Christians have believed for a long time. And those are common in like certain denominations, but that's a rich source of foundation thinking for the basics that are non-negotiable, because those haven't changed for 2,000 years, right? I mean, most of them. A lot of things change, cultures change, but God's basic building block facts really don't. And we can see that as we do Bible translation in other cultures, that whatever the culture is, the Word of God will interact with that, and they have to process that in their own way, in their own culture. So...
Scarlett, what would you add to that? I think right away, something that I would just plug is even our church website. I know sometimes a lot of people think of like the values page as maybe you're just kind of churching out or checking out different churches and you kind of want to see where they stand. But on that page, on the about page on the website, it lays out a bunch of scriptures per these kind of main topics. So everything from the Trinity to the Bible to the Holy Spirit. And so I would even just encourage someone to go there. I know, Scarlett, we've had conversations about that just even when amongst the kids team and about just kind of what are those key values that they kind of hold. So I thought that may be helpful for some people too, just as our overseers have also selected, okay, here are the key essentials that we have.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just a combination of being in God's Word and in tune to His Spirit and just really leaning and pressing into those things. I think also being in a church that is founded in the Word and being in community. And also, we have to guard our heart and guard our mind. And so we've got to actively be careful what we're reading, what we're entertaining, what we're engaging in. Of course, it's good to learn, but we have to know God's word so that we can censor that stuff.
Yeah, that's so good.
Another thing that just occurred to me is that sometimes it's very helpful to write your own doctrinal statement. Do your own executive summary about the big things of the faith. We had to do this when we joined Wycliffe because it's a non-denominational organization. So we had all sorts of denominations in there. So that was a big process of our application. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man? And so you just processing it yourself through scripture, that's a very kind of... It takes effort, but it's a very worthwhile process to do that and then compare it to what, you know, what most people think. Most Christians think.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Going to a trusted mentor or community group leader or someone and just saying, hey, here's what we're working on, whether it's as a couple, a family, or just with friends and just being able to process with people. I think that's a great example. I love that.
And it goes without saying that the preaching of the word and the community groups, the children's education program, high school, college, all that is the building blocks where you're getting into what's basic and what's debatable.
Absolutely. No, that's so good, y'all. And that's just the first point here about remembering the reason for the belief. Carl, the second point here is remember who the referee is based on Romans 14, 6 through 12. When I read that, not only did it just, ooh, I was like, yeah, that's so good. Also, I think back to my childhood and being the oldest child of three, I was the referee in my mind, and I was determined to keep my younger siblings in check. And so there was a special chord that was struck in me when you brought that up. And this is, again, helpful for all kinds of conversations that we have with people. We've talked about from the stage and on this podcast before, just dealing with whether it's conflict, whether it's dealing with, you know, trying to be someone's fixer, and just how easy we can kind of allude into that. But what is so significant, just ask both of y'all, why is so significant that we start, or kind of the second part here is remembering who the referee is?
Right. So it's interesting that Paul brought that up. You know, he says, you're not the judge. Jesus is the judge, and we're all accountable to him. That's basically what he talks about in that section. So it's kind of like at the end of the day, you are not the one, I am not the one that makes the call on a debatable issue. That, you know, in that case, really, Jesus makes the call on what's really right or wrong, but how we are, right? We don't want to be wrong and how we're right, back to that issue again. But since Jesus is the final call, it makes the final call, then we have to leave the issue with him, and we can't just want to be right and end right always, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Scarlett, would love to know your thoughts. I think about this, and at first it sounds, you're in church, you're like, oh yeah, that's good, I'm glad God's the referee. But I don't know about you, but when I get out in the real world, there's so many times that I would rather be the referee in certain situations. So how do you wrestle with that? And how, I feel like you do this so well. So how do you remind yourself of who the real referee is?
Yeah, I think what's neat about this is I've kind of been struggling with this recently, and God's just gently reminded me of my place. And in that, there's peace. So when we move into that referee position, you know, we experience sin, and the judgment can form into a critical spirit. Well, then that just can branch out to all kinds of things. I become critical towards myself and everyone around me. And so when we really stay in that place where God has us, that's a place of peace. That's a place of love. And so I'm just reminded to not move into that position.
That is so good.
That's a great point. I wish I would have said that.
No, really. And to your point, it's stressful. You think about, like, even in any sort of sports game, yeah, the refs have to always be on. They're watching for every little thing. And so God doesn't want that for us. And right. So he takes that place.
And he doesn't use VAR. So that, you know, he doesn't need VAR. He doesn't need he doesn't need to use the video replay to make the final decision on the penalty kick or the offsides or
that's
whatever.
That's right. And you know, when we move into that place, it's a hurtful place. It breaks relationships, and it causes more harm than good. And so, yeah, it's always good to stay where God has you.
I promise I'm not trying to think of the toughest questions to ask y'all, but what about parenting? Because there is that balance there where there is some things that God has, you know, not only asked, but called and expected parents to step into. So how, as parents, did y'all navigate that as far as just being able to remember your role even as a parent?
Wow. Okay.
All the hard questions.
I'll let the mom go first, because okay. Moms know more.
Well, what I love is that we always blame God. We're like, we do this not because there are rules our way. It's because this is what God has called us to do. This is because this is what his word tells us to do. And so it really just shifts everything back to him, which we have to do because they're not going to be under our covering forever, right? And so if we're telling them now, hey, you're what, 8, 15, whatever, you have to walk in obedience to God just like we do. And so when you're 18 and you're no longer with us, you're still following what the word says. And so that's kind of how we get off the hook at our house is, hey, we're doing this because God tells us to do it. You know, these aren't our made up rules.
Right. And we have to follow, as Scarlett said, yeah, we have to follow these also. So you model it, right? Because you're under obedience. And so they're under obedience. Very huge. And with children, especially, you see that not all acceptance is acceptable, because, you know, kids can do some very dangerous things, you know, and if you just tolerate their behavior when they're really going down a path that's not healthy for them, that's not acceptable acceptance to just let them do it, right? That would be non-loving. to let your children do stuff that's going to harm them spiritually and physically and otherwise.
Yeah, that's so good, y'all.
Yeah, it's finding the balance and teaching them what's right, but then how to love those around him, them who are maybe not doing what's right, and then modeling that well. Like, how do I love my peers that aren't making good decisions? And then same for them. So it's tricky.
Yeah.
Scarlett, I just came to mind, you were talking earlier about eternal perspective and just remembering that this is not, what we have here is not all there is. And I feel like even just hearing your perspective of parenting in that way, that this is a temporary season and this is not what it's always going to be like. And so you're preparing them, you're handing them off or blaming, putting them off to the guy who really has it all, you know, that they'll be with, God will be with them throughout their whole life and giving them continual wisdom and Holy Spirit guidance and all. So yeah, no, I thought that's really good.
Yeah, that's huge. So maturity level does play in this whole discussion about acceptability, because at different levels of maturity, things seem more or less right or wrong in this debatable area of things. And so with the Jewish believers back then, they were still kind of locked into their Judaism a bit. And then of course, the Greeks had their own problems with being... coming from a pagan culture that did not have the roots of the Torah and the Ten Commandments and everything. So they had their own struggles that way. But it's all about maturity level too, mm-hmm. that sometimes we get stuck on things. I was very more radical on certain doctrines when I was younger than I am now. So
that's a perfect segue to what we're talking about here on this third point about remembering the risk of harming others' faith, just given that you're going to go in so, you know, hard and heavy on one particular topic when that may turn someone off. How would you encourage someone to navigate how do you know if you're risking someone's faith? How do you know if you're coming off too strong? Any words of advice on just how to navigate that?
Wow. It's an interesting point, because we don't really think about spiritually harming others by our positions on things. But I think actually what Scarlett said just a little while ago about not being in a judgment space from the earlier point is why then he moves into this one. Because if you're a judge and you're condemning and you're also mocking, that really can exasperate and discourage people from following the Lord. And the word that Paul uses in that section is actually skandaliso in Greek, which means to go away from the faith. So it's actually, you know, you could annoy somebody or exasperate them or discourage them from excessive judging and contempt, that they'd actually say, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I'm out of here. So,
That posture, I think, is so important.
Yeah, and I think that when we enter into those conversations, we have to do it with love and care, and also trust God with the result, trust God with the outcome, that He has, you know, He has their heart, He loves them more than we do. And so, and I think when we go in with that posture, it's safe for them and for us, and we can honor God in those conversations.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's so good. There's three more points left, and they're all kind of tied together, but we've got remember what is relevant, and then based on Romans 14, 17 through 19, and then Paul goes from there to remember to relinquish our rights, Romans 15, 1 through 3. I feel like we've just been talking a lot about how to keep things relevant, how do we remind ourselves of, okay, what's important, what's not. This part about remembering to relinquish our rights, it can be so hard. And it's like one of those where it's like, especially when you get in and, you know, you're wanting to kind of dig into your point and come up with all these kind of excuses, you may feel challenged personally or attacked in a way that the person doesn't intend, but you just kind of take that upon yourself that you have to be the one to get this right. So how do y'all approach these conversations with humility, with a sense of knowing that, you know, you don't have a certain amount of rights that your pride or your ego wish that you did?
Well, I think, like you said, they are tied together. If you remember what the priority is, like in Paul writes, it's love and joy and peace in the kingdom of God. That's the priority. Or in Galatians, as I mentioned, you know, it's not circumcision. It's about faith acting in love and the new creation. So if you're keeping that in mind, and then it makes it a little bit easier for us to say, okay, I don't really need my way here on this particular argument, because, you know, really... pursuing love, joy, and peace in the kingdom of God is more important for us two together, or us three, whatever our discussion group is about it, than to be right about it. But it's also important to state a position that might be worth considering in a balanced way, but just leaving it to the Lord. And there's a certain sense of discomfort, in doing that. That's a little bit like, Scarlett and her family are going, it reminded me, they're going on the Mexico missions trip. So just stepping out like that and allowing something not your own way is a discomfort. It's a sacrifice. And, that's, Paul draws that into, Jesus didn't please himself. He sacrificed himself. So therefore, we should have the same kind of idea, like, well, we have to kind of give up a something like that. You have to get, there's a giving up in a little way of your, being right or winning the conversation or whatever. I have a hard time with not winning the conversation, I must say. So anyway, that preached to me.
Yeah, I think back in college when I was really on fire and wanted everyone to know about Jesus and just was presented with a lot of opportunity to do that, someone just told me, when you're, this isn't new information, but when you're, people don't like what you're saying or they're ugly to you, it's not you, it's Jesus, and it's his truth and it's him that they don't like. And so when you have that perspective, I think you can be in a place of, I don't have to prove my point. This isn't about me. It's about Jesus. And so I think we just have to kind of move out of the way.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Yeah. I also think of how countercultural this is. Carl, I know this could be a whole nother sermon or series, but I just think about as we gear up towards a presidential election in the fall and just so much focus can just quickly absorb you into politics on any level, local, state, or beyond. And so how as believers should we even navigate, again, I don't know what to get unpack this whole thing, but just even in this particular arena, because politics in our secular world does not model this idea of surrendering your rights, seeking, to have that peace, love, and joy that the Bible talks about. I mean, it is like the opposite. And it is in every way you're digging deeper and further into your stance or your position. So how as believers should we even be aware of that and kind of take, be mindful of that as we head into this election season?
Well, I think we need a lot of prayer and in the Holy Spirit. Just it doesn't mean we have to agree on our political points of view. And in fact, there's good reasons for having strong political points of view. But that whole thing about not being wrong and being right, I just come back to that because I always have to deal with that. Because when I see positions that, from my point of view, are really politically dangerous, I just want to attack those ideas. Big time. Not the people that hold them, but the idea. I want to get at it and crush it because it's a bad idea and it has, through history, it's had super bad consequences. But I got to remember, I don't want to turn into a monster because I'm right. Mm-hmm. And so this is a big personal struggle with me. And so every day almost, if I hear something that I really get annoyed at idea-wise, I have to pray, okay, Lord, I leave it with you. It's like a constant trust. It's like a daily thing of giving up and praying for the Holy Spirit's help. And just remembering that, the people holding these positions also, it's not about them. There's spiritual warfare going on in our world all the time. And it's, Paul talks about the ideas are strongholds and stuff like that. There's something behind these things that are not, it's not people. It's the ideas even are from a bad place sometimes. And so to pray those through, it's a big struggle.
Yeah, like you, Carl, I can get pretty worked up in general, and so I have to be really careful. But I was going to say something similar to you, is that I have to lean into the Holy Spirit, and I can't be controlled by something other than that. And so that's kind of my checking point, is what's controlling me right now. And like you said, just a lot of prayer. I think there's a lot of trust that goes into that, trusting God that He's in control, yes, despite what we see and what's going on before us. And then I think as Christians, we're responsible to walk in honor and respect. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be seen in our conversations with each other and how we act and how we respond. And so I think it's important that we do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. I just find it refreshing. I'll just say to both of y'all and for Carl, especially as a Bible scholar and a PhD. And, the fact that you're so humble about this and like, hey, I'm still struggling with this.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if anyone here that's like, oh, I've got it all figured out, this is what the Bible says. I just love that. So that's just a free aside. But
well, yeah, every day we need to remember Jesus is on the throne. Our political situation in the U.S. didn't surprise him. You know, he's known from eternity that, you know, we're going to have challenges in this area at this particular time, and we are the ones that have been born for this time. And so, okay, you know, mm-hmm. we have to trust him, just like trusting the Lord on going on a missions trip. Mm-hmm. So just trusting him in this area, too, it's... At the end of the day, it's his kingdom and trusting in his love and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
That's so good. And a great transition to this last point here about remember the desired result based on Romans 15:7, the key verse of the Sunday, therefore accept one another just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given the glory. And just that idea, we've been talking about this whole episode, but just the idea of it's all about God and it's all about him and his glory and how that puts into place. Anything y'all would add to that? I know a lot of this has been related to what we've talked about, but just ending on that particular point.
Well, I think just the political discussion, we really want to give God glory in disagreeing politically, because that would be a debatable issue. Although it's starting to get, not depending how far positions get, it turns into non-debatable, which is a debatable issue, I guess. But to just remember that at the end of the day, we need to keep God's glory in focus with how we're responding, how we're loving, how we're treating things. We can still be firm in our beliefs, but we just got to remember that it's the Lord's glory and he is glorified or not. I gave that example, that bad example. I still remember it. I still remember how nasty people were to each other in that kind of, you know, space of fighting over the values and activities of the school, right? And it was a Christian school, and it didn't bring God glory, especially to the diplomat community that was there that weren't Christian, and also a majority world religion, that also were there. And so God did not give the glory, and we don't want that to happen. We want to give him glory by how we disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that we have to decide who we're in it for. Mm-hmm. Are we in it for ourselves and being right and looking a certain way and making it about us? Are we in it for Jesus and to honor and glorify him? And when we do that, there's peace and there's rest and there's, you know, we don't have to have the angst of trying to be something we're not or to focus on ourselves versus Jesus. So
one thing, it's interesting, I didn't have time to go into this, but as we were in East Africa and in that fellowship I was a part of, there was something about all of us being dislocated from the U.S. and in a foreign country, and we were more unified just because we were kind of different than, and so that kind of gave us an extra boost of unity. And I think looking at our current situation, you know, the more anti-biblical our culture gets, I think the more hopefully and prayerfully unified we'll get on the essentials, because when the outside context is pushing in on you, that's the time really for us to get unified about what's really important, and we can leave a lot of the non-essentials aside, because we need to give God glory and give a witness to the world in that respect. So
such a great way to close us out. Thank y'all both for the conversation. Really was great.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.